A Murder of Crows. Read. Nicolina stopped walking abruptly. Her face twitched and spasmed as she muttered what sounded like nasty over and over again. Her mouth twisted around the word. "What's nasty?" I asked suspiciously, tugging her forward. She yielded a single step, her eyes fixed on a distant tree at the edge of the forest. A fir. "What are you looking at?"
"Ignore her," Coco glanced at us over her shoulder, huddling deeper in her cloak. Along the coast, the wind blustered stronger than in La Forêt des Yeux, colder. "The sooner we reach a village, the sooner we'll find black pearls for liqueur brisé."
"Pearls?" Beau scoffed and kicked a rock into the sea. "What a ridiculous payment."
"Liqueur guards l'eau mélancolique," Coco shrugged. "The waters are dangerous. They're powerful. Without payment, no one broaches their shores." Beside Thierry, Celie wrinkled her nose as I forced Nicolina another step. "Two.
And do you think we'll find these black pearls in the next village?"
"Perhaps not the next one."
Coco marched back to prod Nicolina along. She'd seemed to grow roots. She still stared at the fir tree, tilting her head in contemplation. I looked closer, the hair on my neck rising. A solitary crow perched there.
"But there are a handful of fishing villages between here and L'Eau Mélancolique."
Worse still, the white dog had reappeared, stalking us with those eerie, silent eyes. With a panicked curse, Beau kicked another rock at him, and he disappeared in a plume of white smoke.
"Aren't black pearls rare?" Celie asked delicately.
"Yes."
Terry noticed the crow as well, his brow furrowed.
Though he hadn't spoken his plans aloud, I suspected he'd travel with us as long as we continued north, toward L'Eau Mélancolique, toward Chateau Le Blanc. Morgaine had tortured him and his brother. That much had been clear in his memories. Yet Terry was here. Toulouse wasn't.
"But anything can be bought for the right price,"
he said softly.
"Move, Nicolina,"
Coco snapped, joining me at the rope. Nicolina jolted at the words, and we realized our mistake too late. With a vindictive smile, she curled her pointer finger toward her palm. A single feather fell from the crow's wing.
"Oh, shit!"
Hastily, Coco tried to recoat the ropes, but the sharp scent of magic already punctured the air. The feather touched the forest floor. Alarmed now, I pulled sharply on Nicolina's wrists, but she smashed her head into my nose, flinging herself backward on top of me. We both crashed to the ground as the feather began to change.
"A mouse in a trap," she hissed. "Who are the mice now?"
The delicate black filaments multiplied, slowly at first, gaining momentum, melting together into a misshapen lump of clay. From that clay, another bird formed, identical to the one perched in the tree. The latter cawed again, and from the former, a second feather fell. Another bird rose. Three now, all identical. Nicolina cackled. But the birds hadn't finished yet. Within the span of five heartbeats, five more had formed. They multiplied faster. 10 now, 20, 50.
"Stop it!"
I crushed her hands in mine, those hands that should have been rendered numb, useless, but she twisted away as the birds rose above us in a horrifying black mass. Scores now, perhaps hundreds.
"Reverse the pattern. Do it now!"
"Too late."
Laughing in delight, she bounced on her toes.
"Look, huntsman, it's a murder of crows. They shall peck, peck, peck all your flesh, flesh, flesh."
The plague above us built like a tidal wave preparing to break.
"Did you hear me, huntsman? Crows, murderous ones, tell me, which shall they eat first, your eyes or your tongue?"
Then the wave broke. The birds swooped as one, arrowing toward us with alarming speed. Though I threw up my hands against the onslaught, frantically searching for a pattern, they attacked with single-minded focus. Talons slashed my face, my fingers, Beaks tore into my knuckle. Others drew blood from my ear. Coco tackled Nicolina to the ground, and the two scrabbled in the snow as the crows descended on the others, pecking skin, pulling hair. Angry caws muffled Celie's panicked shrieks, Beau's vicious curses, Nicolina's outraged cries. I craned my neck to see her writhe as Coco re-coated her ropes with blood. The crows didn't stop, however. My own blood streaked down my forearms, my neck, but I kept my head bowed, searching. Gold rose in a tangled web.
There.
I yanked the pattern with all my might, and a powerful gust of wind blasted the birds backward. I braced as it blasted me, too. A necessary sacrifice. I needed space to breathe, to think. I secured neither. More birds darted to replace the others, shrieking indignantly. It was no good. There were too many of them, too many patterns. Seizing Nicolina, I charged toward the cliffs with talons on my neck. Coco sprinted behind with Beau, and Terry swooped Celie up in his arms to follow.
Reed!
I didn't slow at my brother's incredulous shout.
What are we doing?
No, I maintained my focus, searched blindly for the right cord. If we hoped to survive with our eyes and tongues, we'd have to jump. My vision pitched at the thought. Madame Lebel had once said a witch could fly with the right pattern. Devereaux had said a cardinal couldn't if it didn't believe. Well, we were about to test their theories.
If you're listening, Devereaux, please, please help us.
I didn't get the chance to finish the prayer. A deafening roar shook the cliffside, the trees, and an amethyst wing parted the clouds of smoke overhead. An enormous amethyst wing, membranous, razor-tipped, fire sprayed in a wide arch, silhouetting the great hulking shape of a serpentine body. A scaled leg appeared, a barbed tail. An entire dragon followed.